Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come back.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters, isn't it? And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can.
Coming up in 20 minutes, the Raiders may have saved their season yesterday. Also, we're breaking down everything from week four of the NFL weekend coming up here shortly. Just a few thoughts before we get there, and advanced analytics and your poll question, as well as epic fail later on in the hour. On Brent Venables and the OU situation. Oklahoma came into this season as one of the favorites to make it to a college football playoff and has been the power broker of the Big 12 for many years. But Lincoln Riley left, Brent Venables took over, and you would think that Venables, with a defensive background, would at the very least make the Sooners' D a little bit more credible. Even if they weren't as explosive and dynamic offensively, they'd be a little bit more fundamentally sound on defense. And the fact is, after losing to K-State last week and now getting drummed by TCU to the tune of 55 points on Saturday, their college football playoff dreams are over, and I think their Big 12 championship dreams are over as well. The problem is that Venables, A, schematically, is getting just absolutely sawed in half. And B, I don't think he has the attention of these guys. I mean, Venables comes off as this really high quality type of assistant coach and longtime assistant under Dabo and other places that he was ready for this job. And it's not, they're not listening, because look at the plays they gave up to TCU. The Horned Frogs had runs of 67 and 69 yards. They had pass plays of 72 and 73. There were four plays in this game that went for nearly 70 yards or more. How could that happen? 67, 69, 72, and 73. That's defense that's not listening to its coaches or being really poorly coached. That's a ringing concern. You're not going to fire Brent Venables 1 month into his first season, but there is complete roof is falling, sky is falling type of attitude with those two performances the last 2 weeks against middle of the road Big 12 teams. OU's going to go into the SEC with that defense? Good luck with that. All right, over to last night's Chiefs and Bucks game. Mahomes was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and once again just reasserts himself as the best quarterback in football. We had this conversation not long ago after Josh Allen had those brilliant first two weeks of the season. But as I said at the time, Mahomes is still the best, even though Allen is great. Mahomes, and then you can choose your number two, Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whoever you want to put there, but Mahomes is still number one. Because, as we saw last night, Patrick Mahomes still does things nobody else can do and nobody else has ever really even tried to do. Because Mahomes has this dexterity of moving with the football to where he can pirouette, he can spin move, he can hop, he can slide, he can scramble. He does those little steps out of bounds. Around the left end, buying time. And then what you see is him with the power from a core strength to get away from an oncoming pass rusher. And then the little steps to scramble himself into space. And then does he want to take it into the end zone? He's going to stop. He's going to spin move. He's then going to recognize the line of scrimmage and stay behind it to then pitch forward a 2-yard touchdown to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Nobody can do that, because what Mahomes can also do is run an offense from the pocket with the arm strength of the Dan Marinos of the world. So he does things that nobody else could do because nobody's ever had that package. Nobody's ever had that entire skill set. And let's not forget that this was supposed to be a down year for the Chiefs offense, at least a down first couple of weeks until they got other new guys into the offense after losing Tyreek Hill. And last night they put up 41 points, and the game is over once it's 21-3. I know that's still Brady out there, but 21-3 was a massive effort right out of the chute that they converted on drives and converted touchdowns. And as I opened up the show talking about, I thought one of the most damning parts of last night for the Bucs was that these were not short fields only that the Chiefs were taking advantage of, nor were they the classic big strike, 65-yard touchdown throw to Tyreek Hill type of things. The Chiefs methodically went down the field for long drives on three of their touchdowns. 65 yards, 72 yards, 83 yards. Those were long, methodical drives, and so the Bucs had multiple chances to get off the field and couldn't. That shows holes in the Bucs' D and the ability of the Chiefs' offense to now adapt to the type of talent that they have. Great effort from the Chiefs. Questionable effort, to say the very least, from the Bucs' defense, and Brady knows it. Brady knows it. He can't be expected to put up 41 points. And in the first 3 weeks of the season, the Bucs could win based on defense. But so now you have this combination of the Bucs offense isn't nearly as explosive as it once was with Brady the last 2 years, and the defense isn't as stout as it once was. And so that's a double-sided trouble problem for the Bucs right now. Yesterday, Patriots and Packers. And if the Buccaneers are wondering who exactly they are, what is you? What is you at all? At 2-2, the Packers might be saying the same exact thing.
Mason Crosby for the win. Snap, placement, swing to the right leg, kick to the upright. It is good! Mason Crosby has done it again! He has booted the Green Bay Packers to a 27-24 victory in overtime.
This way of winning, I don't think is sustainable because it's just pushed too much pressure on our defense. And obviously, I got to play better and will play better.
That was Wayne Larrabee in Packers Radio. That was Aaron Rodgers. Packers survived 27-24, got the overtime walk-off field goal from Mason Crosby, that chip shot field goal. But there's a bunch of things here that aren't right for the Packers. There's a bunch of things that just are not working the way that they're supposed to work. And obviously, I think one of those things is relationship with the wide receivers. Without Davante Adams, the Packers are trying to do what the Chiefs are doing, which is assimilate, adapt, and still remain very productive, even if it looks different. The Packers really haven't done that yet. And part of this is inexperience. part of this is just raw, green, young players who are now thrust into much bigger roles, Watson, Dobbs, etc. But also the reliance on guys that are just not as talented as Davante Adams, even if they're as experienced. I mean, when you're looking for Randall Cobb on big third down conversions, this is a problem because Cobb's only got so many bullets left in the chamber in his career. And he can't be your go-to guy all the time. Alan Lazard is good, but I don't think Lazard's a number one. Lazard's more like a good number two. And then you have, you know, Watson and Dobbs, and Dobbs has the chance for the potential game-winning touchdown throw on a beautiful read and a beautiful throw and a beautiful play call by LaFleur and Rodgers in the corner of the end zone. Rodgers puts it exactly where he needs to be, and it's in his hands, and then he comes down to the turf and loses control. You know, so that play, if that's Davante Adams, he catches the touchdown. They don't go to overtime. So there are just moments where you assume that it'll just take some time, but you wonder when it's going to happen and if the Packers can continue to kind of live on the edge like this. They scooted by against the Bucs last week. They scoot by against the Patriots. They're a much better team than the Patriots. They were a 9.5-point favorite. The Patriots are down to their third-string quarterback, and the Patriots are punching up, and the Packers are punching down. Rodgers looks, and LaFleur looks, frustrated by the lack of synchronicity, the lack of flow on that offense. The offensive line isn't helping. Matthew Judon consistently got in the backfield yesterday, disrupted plays, thwarted drives. So they need to be better on the line. The young receivers need to be better. And whatever the play calling is needs to adjust and adapt to what they have, not what they don't have. Packers are frankly lucky to get out of that one, because there was a couple of chances where the Patriots had a chance to really steal a game there, and it would have been a pretty devastating loss in Wisconsin at Lambeau on a perfect day with Bailey Zappe under center. That really couldn't have happened. They could not afford to lose a game like that. They were lucky to get out of that one alive. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. We were talking earlier this morning about Mike Leach's advice for weddings. He told the SEC reporter she should just elope. Don't bother actually organizing a wedding. That he has tried to bribe his kids into not having weddings. He said, I'll give you an extra $10,000. Just elope. Dixieland Dan has weighed in. I did my wedding for less than $1,000. I had 10 cases of Coors Light, 8 smoked Boston butts that I cooked, some pulled pork, handmade decorations that my wife made, local church, drove off in Granddad's 1972 Le Mans, and we had it during a tornado warning with no power. Hashtag redneck wedding. Now, if you were to guess how Dixieland Dan's wedding went, would that be about it?
Pretty much. I would say that also if you went there, you knew you were not getting any more beer selections than Natty Light.
Oh, Coors Light.
But see, that's weird because I feel like Dan's always taking a picture with the Natty Light. So did he just up his game for class for the wedding?
Yeah, it was a fancy affair.
Oh, okay. But I hope the Blue Mountains were there.
10 cases of Coors Light, 8 smoked Boston butts, handmade decorations, local church, and his grandfather's 1972 Le Mans. That's the perfect.
Yeah, the cars.
And no power during a tornado warning. Perfect.
What is a Boston butt, though?
It's like a pulled pork. It's like a Boston butt. Pork butt.
But Boston's known for that? They've known for butts?
I don't know why it's a Boston butt. Maybe the type of pig? I don't know.
Is that why Giselle wanted Brady back in Florida?
Leland Landon tweets, the Braves sweeping the Mets is that much sweeter because of the trash-talking Mets fans were doing when they took 4 out of 5. I thought it was a long time until October. The Braves had that chop in full effect. You know, I'm perturbed and dispirited. Bogus is forlorn, but Bilotti's angry. Bilotti's overtly, noticeably angry today. Fidgety and angry. Every commercial break, there's something more about the Mets getting swept that he finds completely frustrating and aggravating.
I think the one thing I mentioned to you earlier that it was the most annoying from last night's game was when Charlie Morton finally figured out how to throw strikes after that third inning, and he was constantly throwing strikes, and the Mets' bats didn't adjust. I don't know how many second pitch strikes I saw go by right down the middle of the plate. It just drove me insane. It drove me, every batter, it drove me insane. I mean, you have to adjust. You have to be able to adjust, especially in that spot when you're not doing anything. When they're hitting every mark, hitting every home run, doing everything right on the bases, doing everything right in the rotation, you got to adjust. And they weren't able to do that.
The Braves put it on them. And the Braves have put the Dodgers on notice. I would not want to play the Braves in the NLCS. I would not. If I'm the Dodgers, I do not want any part of that. I do not want any part of that. The Braves have that mojo from last year. The Braves lineup top to bottom is excellent. The Braves starting pitching has come up big in a few big spots. Their bullpen was very good this weekend. The Mets couldn't figure out Kenley Jansen. I mean, that's just a team you don't want to deal with. That's a tough park to play in. That's a loud crowd. That's a really dangerous Braves team.
That's another guy, Jansen. Guy is known to blow a big game. He's primed for that.
Of course,
he looked like Eric Gagne is out there on the mound or some big-time closer. It's totally ridiculous. I just don't get it. They had to win one damn game. They had to win one.
Just one.
You know what I realized? The Mets really went in the tank and blew this the moment Stu Kovacs was playing the fake air trumpets in that video for Megan Perloff.
Megan Perloff did a video that was like mimicking Edwin Diaz's Tommy Trumpets entrance, and everything's gone to hell in a handbasket since.
Yeah, since him and Perloff sat there playing those trumpets, that collapse got real for the Mets.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Not Connor Green tweets, good thing you didn't come to Wisconsin this weekend, DA. Would have seen an absolute trash performance from the Badgers. Paul Chris had a great record, but he's beat up on the Big Ten West and had a terrible record against ranked teams. Program got stale. Time for a change. Got to tell you, this was a torturous weekend for me. It was great. I got to go fish with my dad. Those are memories that, you know, you can't buy. So I was really, really happy about that. And I actually had my 25th high school reunion on Saturday night. So I ended up being in town for that.
Wow.
Yeah, 25 years.
On Applefest weekend up there? That's a big day.
It was at Applefest.
Oh, it was the night before. But it was really good. I'll say this about reunions. I've gone to the 10th, the 20th, and the 25th. We had a really good class. It was relatively small, 200 people. But, you know, I was pretty good friends with a number of people. And I'll tell you this as advice. The older you get, the reunions are actually better. You say, why is that? Now, why is that? And that is because the people that show up, it's a dwindling size. Every year it gets a little bit smaller every time you do it. But the people that show up really are there to have a good time. Like, they're not there to judge you. They're not there to bring up the old socio stratas and, you know, who's friends with what. Like, by the time the older you get, the farther away you are from that, and the more you're just out there to have a good time. And you're happy with where you are in life. You know, you hide from reunions if you're embarrassed, if you got fat, you got bald, whatever, you have no job, whatever it is. The people that are comfortable with who they are show up to just have a good time, and they're happy with just seeing anybody from the old days. So that, it made it for a really good one. So my 20th and 25th were very, very fun. But this was a torturous weekend for me because I told you in the summer, this I had waited all off season to see if the Badgers would play on the same weekend as the Packers. I've always wanted to do this, this bucket list item to do Badgers on a Saturday, Packers on a Sunday. And it has to line up perfectly where not only it might happen once a year, if you're lucky, where they do this, but timing-wise, it has to happen well to where it's an early kick for the Badgers on Saturday, and you'd like it to be a later kick on Sunday for the Packers. So, like, a nighttime Badgers game doesn't work if you've got a noon kick at Lambeau. This year, not only did it set up where the Badgers played on a Saturday and the Packers on a Sunday, but it was a noon kickoff Eastern time for the Badgers on Saturday, and then the late window that was already set when the schedule came out because they were playing the Patriots, and that's like a big game, America's Game of the Week type thing. So it was the perfect spread, and it was the first weekend of October, so it was going to be nippy and crisp, but not cold. Like, you don't want to do this in late November, right? You don't want, like, the last Badgers game of the season, and you also don't want the Badgers playing, you know, Coastal Carolina or, like, you know, even Coastal Carolina would be great, but you don't want them playing, you know, Alcorn State or something. Set up so perfectly. I wanted to do this. I put the ball in motion. I had everything set up. I went to the bosses and it did not get the green light. And I was just like, oh, oh. I wanted to do the show. I actually wanted to do the Brewers game on Thursday night.
Which was a grand slam in the eighth.
Yep, which was, and again, the Brewers happen to be in town the same week and they're in a playoff race. Like, this will never happen again. I was going to do the Brewers on Thursday night, show from Milwaukee on Friday morning, Badgers game in Madison Saturday, Sunday morning football from Green Bay on Sunday morning, game at Lambeau, and then this morning show is going to be from Milwaukee or the Green Bay affiliate and then fly out today. It was all set up and didn't get the green light from the bosses. So such is life. We all deal with this type of stuff. But the whole weekend, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So then I'm watching on social media. Jim Rome ends up going to Madison because his son is a senior there. He's taking pictures from the lakeside on Friday afternoon, and it's bright and sunny, and they've got T-shirts on. Sunglasses. Rome's wearing sunglasses. Jim's wearing sunglasses in Wisconsin. Here, it was like the after effects of Hurricane Ian, and so it was rainy and cold and miserable the whole weekend. So I'm watching social media blow up. Sunny, bright, beautiful. Saturday happens. Not that you want to watch Wisconsin lose like that, but like the Bielema revenge game, and it's perfect, perfect weather. Then yesterday, I don't know if you paid attention to this, like the shadows over Lambeau, and they kept doing that drone shot yesterday, I think, where it was like rising up in the air and then looking over Lambeau, and so you could see the surrounding areas. The sun is gleaming off of the helmets. Bailey Zappi's getting in. This is like the next Tom Brady story. They're going to overtime. The weather is perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. Meantime, I got the heat on at the house yesterday. I'm just like, just stick the shank in me. And then to add the Mets getting swept, it was like everything. Just kick DA all weekend long. Kick, kick, kick. Stab, stab, stab. And I said to my wife, I go, not for nothing. I don't have a lot to complain about. I really don't even want to. I'm very lucky in life. But I said, I just got to tell you, it'll never set up this way again. It'll never do it. Because you had to have the Brewers in town in a playoff race, the Badgers at home with the early kick, and the Packers doing the late kick on Sunday, and it has to be perfect weather like this. It'll just, I'll end up doing it, and I'll end up watching Alcorn State, I'm sure.
And content-wise, the biggest college football story coming at the Monday,
Paul Chris gets fired.
And you see Bailey Zappe the Packers win on a game-winning field goal in overtime.
And as you said, the Thursday night Brewers game.
It was an unbelievable game back and forth. Right? And the Marlins beat him late in the eighth, right?
Yeah, it was a walk. Was it a walk-off or the eighth inning grand slam?
Grand slam, yeah. That may have ruined the Brewers' playoff chance.
Now, jump around at Madison might have been a little bit less enthusiastic with them getting their butts kicked by Bielema. But I'm sure I could have found a good time at Madison.
And don't get me wrong, I also thought about this if I was there because I planned on being at like a bar outside watching the Giants. I had a half an hour by the time that Giant game ended to get into Lambeau before kick, too. I thought about that Sunday. I'm like, I would have had plenty of time. Plenty of time to
move. You would have watched the Giants at one of those huge, massive sports bars outside of Lambeau.
And I figured maybe I'd be cutting a close miss kick. I would have had plenty of time to get in there. Plenty of time. And now I'm sitting next to Pete, as miserable as I've ever seen.
And how about this? This is no joke. I mean, the guys really taunted me. And what are you going to do? Like, The universe said, no, you can't do it, because the boss has said, no, you can't do it. Fine. But on Labor Day weekend, this is right around when we found out, right before, I was at my in-laws, and they had their neighbors over. That was the...
The leave the fish back, got to pull back around and get it, and the Sweet 16 for the dog.
Yes.
I'm all over your travels.
Good memory. Sweet 16 for Wiener Dog. Dixie Lee. And not just any Wiener Dog. I don't know if my wife's listening or my mother-in-law. I'd never be invited back. But they have their neighbors over, and one of their neighbor's sons, really, really nice guy, he lives in Chicago. And I was like, yeah, you know, this year I'd love to go up to Lambeau for that Patriots game. I've been, had my eye on it. He goes, oh, yeah? One of my good friends has tickets there. If you need tickets, I could get them.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, no! I would have had access to the tickets, too!
It wasn't meant to be.
Ah, c'est la vie. Anyway, we got a trip coming up here. I can't announce it yet because it hasn't been formalized, but we do have a trip. It'll be pretty cool. The DA show will be on the road, I believe. I don't have formality yet, but I believe we will be able to do this and pull this off next month in November. So we will come potentially to a football stadium near you. When we come back here on the DA show, the Raiders save their season potentially, at least for another week. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Show blitz. The handoff is to Jacobs. First through the 10. Cuts a field 5. Drives forward. He's in. Touchdown, Josh Jacobs. Touchdown, Raiders. He's bullied his way through the end zone on an 11-yard carry.
I want to give our guys credit. We've been trying to improve in some areas and make progress, and I think our guys worked really hard this week to try to make better some things that we obviously need to improve. There's still plenty of meat on the bone, as you guys all know. But I loved our effort. I loved our attitude. I loved our toughness and our competitive spirit to try to finish the game.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
A little meat on the bone?
Gotta
for the
have it.
For the Vegas Raiders, finding a way to defeat the Denver Broncos yesterday. That was Raiders radio on the call?
That was Raiders radio. I forgot the play-by-play guy's name, and it wasn't labeled in our system.
Jason Horowitz.
Oh, that's right. Horowitz got that job.
Yes.
No longer
Brent Musburger.
Replace Brent.
Our staff did an excellent job on tape yesterday. They just didn't have his name in the system.
Is that sarcastic?
No. I actually said to Pete, there were a couple guys that I looked at that I thought were relievers on the Yankees that were cutting tape for us yesterday. And they were excellent. They got non-scoring plays. I was shocked we had the Lamar Jackson pick in the system. They were on fire yesterday. We just didn't have the Raiders play-by-play announcer.
Yeah, credit where credit's due.
They did a great job. Yeah,
wow, you guys rattled some cages, and now we got clips in there?
Newsroom had a great weekend.
Yeah.
Woke him up!
They're
That's
welcome.
Some special stuff.
Wow!
There was zero stress for me today in that newsroom.
That is some special stuff.
Wow, did you guys talk to anybody? Did Pete go to the bosses?
Well,
and they woke people up.
No, the PGP's been playing in the speakers outside the newsroom, so when you sit down, you just hear it.
I'm gonna say there's a fella named Manny Rodriguez. He
woke
was unbelievable.
Up.
Woke him up.
And there was another guy, Wilner Lewis.
Woke him up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who Willie Rodriguez and Wilner Lewis is, but stock up on them.
Okay.
And the great Amanda made her debut on Saturday as a professional here at CBS Sports
Radio.
Didn't need to be woken up, but there she was.
Wow. So we got some culture change after last week.
The kids were alive. The bats were alive this weekend. Bats were alive.
Well, I know that last week Pete was frustrated to say the very least. Pete, did you wake up the newsroom? Did you talk to anybody? Did you tell these kids what to do?
No, I just went the same tried and true. No, we talked to a couple people, asked a couple things, but that nothing over the top.
So how do we...
Pete just said he crossed his fingers and hoped for the best, and we got the best.
So how do we explain newfound success in the newsroom?
I think it was just the right formula.
Yeah, side B, the PGP.
I think the side B got passed around. I think the PGP got passed around the newsroom today, and people said, I need to refocus and rethink about this. And I don't know Manny and Wilner.
You know, you're right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, because, Pete, yeah. I was joking, but you could theoretically kill one of them. I think they believe that's on the table, that you would have misconstrued my words.
That's true.
So they did their jobs.
We should play the trumpets every time Manny and Wilner enter. You guys are losers. On a Sunday.
You guys are total wizards. You guys have all the answers.
Pete's angry at success in the locker room because he didn't have answers to get the success.
And you had your chance. DA asked you what you did, and you said anything. So
that's
here
right.
we come.
No, it's all you guys.
I think
all you guys.
Pete needs a nap.
I think you guys need to go away.
The coach isn't even celebrating success in the newsroom today.
The coach wants his credit.
Just go back to Antonio Brown goalpost jokes. Get Pete involved.
So the Raiders look like they were going to blow another fourth quarter lead. However, the Raiders end up staving off the Denver Broncos and winning 32-23. Josh Jacobs was awesome. Career high, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. They also had a fumble, scoop and score, wake him up, 68-yard touchdown as well. And the Raiders get their first W of the season. They needed it because they got a trip to Arrowhead coming up as well. And so this was it for the Raiders. They had to make sure they won yesterday because 0-3 becoming 0-4 with a trip to Arrowhead after that meant curtains on the season. I don't know what to believe about the Raiders. I think that, frankly, they're an okay team. They're not great. They're not awful. And it's going to take some time to get the Josh McDaniels thing going. The way that they lost to the Cardinals, the way that they lost to the Titans, the way that they lost to the Chargers. I mean, they've been close and in these games, but found ways to cough it away. And that Cardinals game is going to loom large the entire season because they had the huge lead in the second half and then just let Kyler Murray come back. Play after play after play, complete defensive breakdowns constantly in that game. I think the Raiders are better than 1-3. I don't think they're a great team. I think expectations that they could have been a team to win the AFC West were wildly unfounded. The Chiefs are still the class of the division, and what we are seeing is the division actually isn't nearly as good as we would have thought. Now, Justin Herbert being injured hurts. He's not 100%. Them losing a number of players for the Chargers. The Broncos are still not in sync. They might be 2-2. They're the least impressive 2-2 you'll ever see. And the Raiders, again, are finding ways to lose. Yesterday found a way to win. It's the Chiefs and everybody else. And suddenly, you know, all of that talk, including myself, of that every AFC West game should be on is standalone primetime. It's like, no, not really. Like yesterday's Raiders-Broncos game was not that good. I watched most of that game because there were so few late games on. And it's like, we're not getting much out of the Broncos these days.
I don't want to watch a single Bronco game the rest of the year.
Is that amazing?
I'm over them already.
I mean, they're the
most boring football team.
Hard to watch.
There's bad teams that are better watches on TV. I'd rather watch the Carolina Panthers than the Denver Broncos.
I wouldn't.
Ooh, yeah, no
thanks. Panthers are really bad to watch.
But the bad is fun. Baker Rule sucking is fun.
Because they suck and because
fun.
You...
Yeah, like it's just, it's fun to watch Baker have passes swatted. There's actually nothing entertainable about watching the Denver Broncos.
There's nothing entertainable about it. So the Raiders survive. I still think this season is doomed for non-playoffs. But, you know, what's funny is that Josh McDaniels has talked openly about all the things that he learned since he was a first-time head coach. And all these, I mean, apparently he said you could trade away Jay Cutler. Don't worry, I can make anybody a Pro Bowl quarterback. Talk about arrogance. And that's the one thing that keeps bubbling up with all of these assistant coaches from the Patriots. They all think that they're geniuses, and they are quickly humbled by being a first-time head coach, and then it never goes well. But you hope that he's a better coach this time around, that he learned something in humility from the first time around. And yesterday, finally, the Raiders are on the board. Let me tell you, the Justin Fields thing in Chicago is painful to watch. So you have this young man who was playing behind a not very good offensive line. And they're going to lose this game 20-12. Offensively, they can do nothing. They're kicking a bunch of field goals against the Giants yesterday. And what do they decide to do on the final play? Instead of chucking up a Hail Mary or trying to find like a hook and lateral or something, they do that stupid circus college thing where you just lateral a million times until the game is over. And on this play, this singular play, Justin Fields gets the football two or three different times and has to launch it backwards across the field and gets obliterated all of those times. Every time he's a sitting duck, middle of the field, and a linebacker or safety is going to come up and truck him. Do you want to get the kid killed? He's already getting knocked around behind an offensive line that is shoddy. And now in the final play of the game, you're giving him two or three open shots from the defense with nobody blocking in front of him to just take out his ribs or his arms or his legs. First of all, that play never works, ever. So why even bother? Number two, you're trying to make sure Justin Fields doesn't get killed, splattered on the pavement. Having him chuck around a play that has a 0.00001% chance of working so that he gets killed multiple times the same play. I mean, what are we doing? Eberflus, just stop. Fire him now. He's such a bozo.
Fireworks went off on the second hit on Fields because even the techs thought the game was over, but he got it away.
Sad. Just so sad. There's just some sad teams. Bears are just sad. The Broncos are 2-2. They're sad right now. Sad.
Oh.
What's worse? Honestly, the Broncos' offensive performance or the Danger Witch commercial? I can't tell.
But still the commercial. Jerry Jeudy caught a touchdown yesterday. Still the commercial. Because I think sandwich sales have dropped since that.
You do.
Went viral. I went to Jersey Mike's the other night out of spite.
You did.
Drove right past the Subway.
Because you didn't want to look at that Danger Witch.
Can't be doing the Danger Witch. Right to Jersey Mike's we go. Unless Subway's a sponsor, in which case I love you guys.
Somebody needs to wake them up.
That is some special stuff.
Subway promotions, woke them up.
By the way, Pete's not in the mood to giggle.
You got that right.
I've never wanted the next 19 minutes to go by faster.
Bogues has headlines.
And these ones are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7 because things happen 24/7. Get a quote at progressive.com. The last time we saw the Chiefs, they were losing in Indy. Last night in Tampa, touchdowns on their first three possessions, four over their first five. That led to a 41-31 victory over the Bucs. So it was a happy post-game cheeseburger for Andy Reid.
We stunk it up last week. We all knew that. We admitted it to you. We didn't play the way we should play. Yeah, you can't do those things. So the guys cleaned it up today.
Patrick Mahomes had three touchdown passes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire caught one, ran for another. The lead is large as 18 before winning by 10. Tom Brady's team is 2-2 despite his three TD throws. Now I'll see your Bailey Zappi from 2 hours ago and raise you a Kenny Pickett. Steelers finally benched Mitch Trubisky at halftime with the Jets yesterday. Pickett scored twice running, but was also picked off three times.
Wanted to come in there and get the win. So that's really just the emotion, just disappointed we didn't come out with the outcome we worked so hard for.
You know, definitely something that, you know, we need to learn from and move on.
The Jets scored the final 14 points of this one to steal a 24-20 win. Mike Tomlin would not commit to a starting QB postgame. And that 48-45 Seahawk win in Detroit you mentioned to start the show or early in hour number one, that was a scoregami. That's the 1,073rd unique final score in NFL history.
It doesn't feel so unique.
I was surprised, and it was pointed out to me on Twitter. Jeremy Coster was gave me the heads up. And my guess is 48 and 45 are popular scores, but not together.
Because it's such a high-scoring game.
Right. And the Lions have scored more points and allowed more points through four games than any team in NFL history.
Really?
Yeah, it's the highest like combination. It's over 281 in each category, and that's never happened before.
So Jared Goff has led the highest scoring first month of offense ever.
In combination, it's the highest. I'm probably misreading the sentence wrong. They've allowed
most total points in NFL history for a team.
Yeah, through four games.
Okay, so there not the best offense, but the most combined points.
Yeah,
they've scored and given up.
Yeah, points for, points against, put it together. Never done before.
Okay.
Those are your Lions. Wisconsin football fired Paul Christ yesterday. Defensive coordinator Jim Leonard's in charge for now. Colorado dumped Carl Durrell for an 0-5 start. And Alabama retakes number one in the AP poll. Georgia got three more first place votes, but the Tide have two more total points in voting. The Atlanta Braves, a three-game sweep of the Mets, 5-3 last night in Atlanta. The Braves' next win gives them the NL East, which the Mets have basically led all season long. From the NBA, the Heat locking up the reigning Sixth Man of the Year, Tyler Hero, a four-year extension worth $130 million. And the Seattle Sounders will miss the MLS postseason for the first time ever, thanks to yesterday's 1-0 loss to Sporting KC. Their 13-year playoff streak was the longest in league history. DA, back to you.
That's impressive. When we come back on the show, advanced analytics behind Antonio Brown's antics this weekend and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Okay. Antonio Brown had himself a weekend. In fact, he tweeted out a picture of Giselle hugging him and made a crack about Tom Brady. So clearly making fun of the right now marriage on the rocks. Do you think Tom Brady regrets having Antonio Brown live in the pool house? 74% of you say yes. Now, half of Americans entertain guests monthly, while 21% of Americans entertain visitors daily or weekly. One etiquette website says you should be clear about how long you stay at a friend's house, not show up unannounced. Now, Mraz's friend Kyle did stay at Mraz's old apartment an entire wedding weekend. Danielle, not happy. Mraz didn't notice until 2 days later. Speaking of, Antonio Brown had videos that circulated this weekend, apparently from earlier in the summer, where he was butt-naked in a pool in a Dubai hotel.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And the blur did nothing for it.
The blur did nothing.
They have to pixel the whole screen.
The blur did nothing. I mean, really. The
it
blur
did nothing.
It did nothing. You know everything about
I saw AB more there than I did with AB's TikTok video in the locker room after that win in the playoffs.
Yeah. That was a whole thing. I mean, he was not afraid to play shrimp cocktail.
Wife, 34C, she indicated to she wanted to sleep with the entire Uruguayan World Cup team.
He would have went to Duke.
The shrimp.
He wanted communal shower. That was more like squid cocktail.
Yeah, it was not shrimp cocktail. That was, by the way, that's exactly what I was intimidated by at Duke.
Churro cocktail. Yeah.
It's a full squid.
I mean, we don't talk about
eel cocktail.
It's a churro cocktail.
I would have been standing in that shower feeling like I had nothing but a turkey's neck.
Hump.
I'd walk around naked all the time. That was
yeah, I would wear pants.
How could you?
28-25 over the Saints when Will Lutz's 61-yard field goal hit Antonio Brown, then the crossbar, then missed. Wisconsin football fired Paul Chris.
Good day, mate.
Boing.
it hit Antonio Brown. And then the crossbar, the double doink. The ball hit Antonio Brown. And then the crossbar. No good.
Bang, bang.
What's bigger, the crossbar or Antonio Brown?
I did the Oreo.
It depends.
The flag blowing off the top.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
When we did that bit, Steven tweeted, I'm dead. I've been crying, laughing so hard at work. People are looking at me like I'm insane. M's are stupid, tweeted, I had to pull over, laughing too hard, needed that. Biggest story of the weekend, AB's Bo Jackson. Oh, man. Hey, they play jump around at Lambeau Field. So I asked whether that was because they fired Paul Chryst, but apparently they play this at every Packer game. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports tweeted in, hey, D.A., on a Sunday in the fall, the Badgers can fire their coach. Giannis could score 110 points. Burns could throw a 27-strikeout no-hitter, and nobody would pay more than 3 seconds of attention to anything but the Packers. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to E.J. Stewart on your simulcast and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.